the doom of man. We are going to see the doom of man, the curse of God. The presence of God is what? The blessing of God is when God's presence is there. That's the blessings of God. Okay? If God's presence is not there, instead of blessing, what do you find? It's the curse of God. That's what we are going to see today. No presence of God. Instead of God's presence, you will see the curse of God. Now you might say, well, you know what? But I am blessed. Because since before when I was a Christian, man, everything was falling upon me. I used to go through trials, tribulations, and all kinds of things. But now, I left God. God is blessing me. I have money, I have wealth, I have all these things. So, really speaking, God is blessing me now. Because before, I was too crazy for God. You know, it's too much. But now I have limited my religion. God is there, of course. He's in the church. I study a little bit. I pray a little bit. But God is blessing me. He's blessing me. That's the curse of God. Because Jesus said in the book of Luke, there was a rich man who had all the wealth. But he ended up where? In hell. But the poor man Lazarus ended up in paradise. Just because you're rich, it doesn't mean you are blessed. It is hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is like a camel trying to enter through an eye of a needle. Blessing of God is the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, this world is going to be against you. If this world is going to be a friend of yours, then you're not a Christian. Because Jesus said, this world is the enemy towards us. The world and the Christian cannot join hands together. You cannot serve two masters. Alright? So here, now we are going to see in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We have been studying the book of Romans, verse by verse, scripture by scripture, and we have seen how man gradually taking God out of his throne. Man wants to be the center. And here verse 22, it says here, although they claim to be wise, they became fools. Who are they here? The people who suppress the truth. We saw that from the very beginning. That's a very key word here. Okay? The people who suppress the truth. And we saw that from the very beginning as verse Romans chapter 1, 18 says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men. Who what? Suppress the truth by their wickedness. So it's still, at the very beginning, the Bible didn't have any verses. It was put by man in later. Alright? So this is continuation. It's like a letter going through. So when you say they means, there are people who suppress the truth. What do you mean by suppress the truth? Trying to destroy God's truth. Trying to overcome God's truth. Alright? So it says here, although they claim to be wise, they became fools. Man is always trying to claim that he is wise. But you know what? God has imprinted in the human soul and in the mind, God has already imprinted His knowledge and His laws are already in the human soul. That's why there's a difference between an animal and a man. Even if a man is living in the cave, in the jungle, if that man goes and kills another person's wife, there's a guilt upon that man. Even if he doesn't know God. Why? Because God's laws are already imprinted in human heart. We are going to see this later in the book of Romans. There is so much evidence to convince the human race of there is a creator. What are the evidence? Where is the evidence? Evidence is all around you, and you yourself is an evidence. See yourself. See what a beautiful creation you are. See the mind you think. There's, you don't have 3, 4, 5 noses, do you? You 2 eyes, 1 nose, 1 mouth, 2 ears. See your system, the way you act and react, and you got 2 hands, 2 feet. Everything inside in you, how it has been so much beautifully designed. There's a heart to pump blood and a stomach to digest your food and a liver to cleanse your system. And all these things, did it just happen by chance? Impossible. You need a lot of faith to believe that. All around you. Let me tell you a story now. A true story. This is what happened. There was a professor who teach in creation. He's a Christian, born again Christian, and he was invited in Phoenix, Arizona, to a radio show, circular radio, they say, and the radio host asked the Christian. He said, "I got a creationist this morning, and I'm going to question him, and I'm going to really show him that what he believes in his God is wrong, that evolution is the right one." And he asked the Christian, "Where is the evidence for the creation? Where is the evidence for the creation?" And he was trying to mock the Christian in front of people, everybody. And the Christian said, "Just let me ask you a question. Tell me what? Why won't you give me evidence you have prepared to recognize the creation? And if you don't know what evidence you are going to recognize the creation, if I'm telling you about the evidence of creation, how do you know that I'm telling truth or not? So, for instance, if I'm going to tell you about the creation, what evidence do you have to accept what I'm going to say?" He said, he was trying to stumble now. Then he said, "Okay, look around this studio. Do you think this microphone got here by chance? Did somebody design this microphone? Just look at the room. How did this room come? Did somebody design it? Or did it just fall down? Can you recognize the intelligent beings who designed this microphone, this room? Look around the room. You can see evidence of what? Intelligence. Your watch. Look at your watch. Did it just form in a trash can? No, someone put information into that watch, and someone designed it, and it has to be an intelligent being, because it goes to the very second. It never stops. Someone put information. So evidence is all over you. You can see a design so beautifully, so perfectly. And if there is a design, there has got to be a designer behind it. Look at your brain. Your brain is the most complex computer in the entire earth. You know that? Your brain. But man is worshipping the computer now. And today we see, as the book of Romans say, although they claim to be wise, man is claiming to be wise because today we see man on the throne. That's why he is claiming to be wise. Man is claiming to be wise because he thinks he has all the wisdom. And God is being reduced, brought down to the feet of man. And when man is on the throne, we call this anthropocentric. Anthropocentric means man is on the throne. Anthropology, have you heard the word anthropology? Means the study of mankind. So anthropocentric means man is on the throne. When you say theocentric, means what? God is on the throne. So man is anthropocentric. He is saying that he is on the throne. Now this is what is called, when man is on the throne, what do you get? You get all kinds of religions coming now. Right? Because man's ideas are coming. All kinds of, every religion other than Christianity and Judaism comes from man. Because man is on the throne. He is setting the rules. He is setting the regulations. He is making his own religions. He is trying to reach out for God by his own efforts. So that's why you find all the religions like Hinduism, all the isms. What do you mean by when man is on the throne, he's anthropocentric, you will find humanism, circular humanism. Okay? That's the humanism means is the love of human wisdom. Love of human wisdom, human philosophy. Now, you will see the word ism here, right? The word ism. The word ism means is a thought or a system, a philosophy. Okay? Buddhism, Hinduism, humanism, alright? All these isms are a thought or a philosophy. Now you will see man is saying he is God. Because man is saying he is the center of the universe. And humanism, all these isms are penetrating to our schools, to our universities, to our seminaries, even to seminaries, even to the pulpits. Pastors are preaching New Age philosophy, humanism, and all these things are creeping into the church too. Now humanism is not a, humanism as I told you, is not a bad word, because in biblical humanism, meaning to what? To help your neighbor. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. To be a good Samaritan. That is humanism, right? But worldly humanism or secular humanism, that's what we are talking here. There's a difference there. Worldly humanism or secular humanism, secular means worldly, means that is the love of man's wisdom. Now humanism has been there for a long time. Because if you can remember in the book of Genesis, Satan told Eve, you can become like God. So man wants to be on the throne. From the very beginning, man wants to be on the throne. Now, today the contents of the bottle, as I told you, humanism has been there for a very long time. The contents of the bottle is the same from since the very beginning. But there are many labels to humanism. You understand? Different labels, but the contents is the same. Many labels like agnosticism, atheism, New Age philosophy, Hinduism, relativism, evolutionism, Buddhism, they all have different labels, but if you see the content, they are the same. They all say there is no God. Maybe there is a God, but we don't know. Now, what do you mean by agnosticism means? Gnosticism means knowledge, okay? Agnosticism means a person who is really looking for knowledge, but he is not sure whether there is a God or not. He doesn't believe in absolutes. He doesn't believe in absolutes. Now, today there are a lot of people say, well, you know, how can it be? There are no absolutes today. There is no real truth, so we can do anything we want to. Atheism means there's no God. New Age philosophy. Alright, New Age philosophy is spreading all over. It is to do with human wisdom. Actually, all this humanism and New Age philosophy, it is very well related to Hinduism. How many of you have heard the words today, karma? Whatever you do, if you do good, it will be given unto you. If you do bad, then you will reap those bad things. That is karma. That is Hinduism. That is about reincarnation. It is getting into our schools, even to our universities, everywhere. Man, you are nothing. You know, Hinduism is, actually the Hinduism came from different books. You know, different, there is no one author for Hinduism. Many people wrote human philosophies in different books. Those books are massive. It's a huge library written by different men. Alright? Those books are called Vedas. Alright? That's how Hinduism comes. These are human wisdom. Now it has penetrated into our culture today with different labels like New Age philosophy, New Age movements. It's all over. That's why we need to be careful. That's why we need to know how to answer people who ask about our faith. Do you know that in the Bible, 53% of the New Testament tells us to preach the gospel, evangelism. 53% tells us to preach evangelism. 47%, according to F.F. Bruce, who is a professor, he says 47% tells us to defend the gospel. But the church, at the very beginning, the church was defending the gospel. That's why Apostle Paul wrote about Colossians, Galatians, defending the gospel. Because there were false teachings coming on. That's why John wrote about the deity of Jesus Christ in the book of John. That's why the church was strong. They can defend the gospel. Not only preaching, defending. But what happened after the 5th century until the Reformation, which was called the Dark Period, there was no defending the gospel. That's where the church was called the Dark Age. Now today, you don't see people defending the gospel. We are very much involved in preaching the gospel. That's why you see a lot of Christians, people are coming to church. They say they are Christians, and afterwards, they have gone back. They have fallen because we don't know how to protect our sheep. We have no answers to protect. 78% of the church, they become cults. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, or Christian Science, or anything like that. 78% come from the church. The reason? We don't know how to give answers. The church is not teaching. The pulpit is not teaching. They are giving the word according to what they want to hear only. How do you answer agnostics? How do you answer atheists? How do you answer people, Jehovah's Witnesses? How do you answer the Mormons? If we don't answer them, who is going to defend Christianity? Somebody has to stand. Not only we are called to preach the gospel. The gospel is two-sided. One side says to preach the gospel. The other side says to to defend the gospel. Evangelism and defending the faith goes hand in hand. Now look, human philosophy. Look, James chapter 3. I want you to turn to James chapter 3. While you're turning to James chapter 3, that's why today the church is so in an apostate church, apostate state, because the church is becoming more and more apostate with false teachings. Now turn with me to James chapter 3. Chapter 3, read from verse 13. And it says here, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. But if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is what? Earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. You see that? There's a wisdom that comes from heaven, which comes in humility, and there's a wisdom that comes in what? Boasting. So the human wisdom comes with boasting, and that is not from God, and that's from the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, you will find disorder and every evil practice. Now see verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So there's a wisdom here. James has told the Christians the wisdom of God and the wisdom from the devil. The wisdom from the devil is selfishness, boasting, envy, bitterness. Now turn with me to an Old Testament scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercise kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. See that? We need to boast only in the knowledge of God. Only in God. So we need to praise Him. Praising God. Not our strength, ability, our knowledge. God gave that. We need to praise only God. Now let me show you another scripture, a fantastic scripture. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We are talking about worldly wisdom here and the power of God's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Apostle Paul is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who being saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that what the book of Romans says in Romans chapter 1, when God said, Romans chapter 1, verse 23, although they claimed to be wise, they became what? Fools. So the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. The gospel is a... When you go and tell somebody about Jesus, how he died, oh, come on, fool. Are you going to believe that kind of stuff? You are living in the 20th century. You know, you're a fool to believe that. It's foolishness for them. But for us, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent, I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? All the isms. Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God has pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Hey, Christians, we are fools. We are the scum of the world. But we are saved by the power of God. People think we are fools. The Jews demanded miraculous signs, and the Greeks looked for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Wow. Now, the Bible already tells us, it gives us answers through the Bible, that humanism, all the isms of foolishness. We need to know these scriptures. When somebody comes who is a backslidden Christian, how to answer this. That's why we need to get into the Word of God. So, man became a fool, thinking he is wise, because man is now, he wants to sit on the throne. The result is what? Instead of giving glory to God now, because God is not on the throne, man is on the throne, instead of giving glory to God and to God's creation, man is giving glory to himself and to his creation. See that? Because man is on the throne, so all the glory goes to man and for his creation, all what he creates. Now, some say that we evolved from an amoeba. Right? Then we were evolved into amoeba, then little by little became a little fish, and the fish became like a little reptile, and the reptile became like a little animal, then a monkey, and here we are today. Now, if that is true, I ask, if we are always evolving, now what is the next stage? Do you find anybody a next stage other than man? Advancing? A superman? No. Now some say that how everything came was there was a huge explosion in the universe. A big bang. This is called the Big Bang Theory. And suddenly things began to, take place through this Big Bang Theory. Now, there was a Christian creationist teacher. He went to a university and he gave his lecture on creation. And after the lecture, a student came to him and said, "I don't believe in creation. I believe that we are evolved. I believe in evolution. I believe in the Big Bang Theory." Then the Christian teacher asked him a question. "If we are evolved, then your brain is evolved. Because if you are evolved by chance, then our brain is also evolved by chance. True?" And he said, "True." "Then if your brain is evolved by chance, then your logic evolved by chance. True?" "Yes, true." "Then if your logic evolved by chance, I can't even, you can't even ask a question because it's not logic. You can't even ask a question saying that I evolved by, Big Bang. It's not logic. It doesn't make sense." Absolutely, you can see how foolish man is. So verse 23, Romans 23, it says, "And what happened? And means we are just flowing through with the scriptures. Although they claim to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. The awesome, all-powerful, almighty, sovereign, holy, all-righteous, the creator of the universe. They didn't want him. They wanted to have a deal with him, an exchange. He was reduced. The almighty, all-powerful God was reduced to an image, into a little box where you can put it in your house, where you can carry it in your pocket or in your car. The glory that belongs to the Creator was given to the human hands who made those little images. The Creator of God is forsaken in preference for man's creation. Where do you find the second commandment in the Bible? Exodus chapter 20 verse 4. What does he say? An idol or an image in the form of anything in heaven, above, or on the earth, beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children of the children for the sin of the fathers of the third and fourth generation of who for those who hate me. Okay, so this is the second commandment. It is not a suggestion, but it is a mandate. It's a commandment. God didn't give 10 suggestions for mankind, but God gave 10 commandments. Now, how man, you know, how foolish man is, right? To worship idols, to worship images. Now, I'm going to show you a scripture how God goes in detail. How man makes an idol and worship. You want to see that? In very detail he goes. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44 will start from verse 12. Read Isaiah 44 verse 12. Here God is telling. Now the blacksmith, he takes a tool, alright, and works with it in the coals. He shapes an idol, that's an image, with what? With hammers, alright, with all the tools, he forges it with the might of his arm, with the strength that is from his arm. He gets hungry now, and he loses his strength, so he drinks no water and grows faint. Now, he is working so hard, even without going to McDonald's. Alright, now the carpenter, he measures with a line, now he's the designer here. The carpenter, he measures with a line and makes an outline with his marker. Now he does the blueprints, okay? He roughs it out with the chisels and marks it with a compass. He shapes it in the form of what? Of a man. Of man in all his glory, that it may dwell in a shrine, in a temple, in a house. He cut down cedar, that means trees, or perhaps took a cypress or oak, whatever the tree is, he let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine, and the rain made it grow. It is man's fuel for burning. The trees are made for man's fuel, okay, for burning, for making barbecue and stuff like that. Some of he takes it and warm himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Well, you can take some wood and bake bread. But he also fashions a god and worship it. So the balance of the wood, he makes it as a form of a man. Others, he warms himself, he bakes, makes bread, you know, and all these things. But the balance, he uses it as making it a god. And he worships. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood, he burns in the fire. Over it, he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm, I see the fire." From the rest, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships. And he prays to it and says, "Save me, you are my God." See? They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are what? Plastered over, so they cannot see, and their minds are closed. They cannot understand. God is really making fun of the people who are worshipping idols, images. And these are people, doctors, engineers, nurses. The human wisdom. What happened? In reality, they are fools. You can have all the education you want to. But you're a fool.